Well, after spending pretty much all of the Sundays after Epiphany in the first letter to the Corinthians, we now, on this last Sunday, dive into the middle of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And part of the reason is that this Sunday is always Transfiguration Sunday, where we celebrate and depict that time when Jesus takes three of his disciples up to the mountain, and he is transfigured into the glory of his divinity. And the glory is best understood as kind of the splendor of God's manifest or obvious presence around us and in us. Jesus' divine nature is revealed here in many ways, I think, just to actually encourage him as soon as he comes down this mountain, he is headed straight to Jerusalem, to some torture, some unfun times, and death. In fact, all three of our readings this morning talk about God's glory, or the glory of God, and the importance of understanding its impact, not only for us as individuals, but also as the church gathered, kind of revealing what it means to radiate the image of God in and through our lives, to portray the presence of God in the midst of this world. Now, as I was about 15, I found a picture of my mom when she was at the exact same age, and it was uncanny. People thought it was actually a picture of me because we looked so much alike. There was no way that my mother could deny that I was her child. But we see that often in families, don't we? Where the features of the child resemble so clearly other members of the family, to the point where we can be certain beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are part of that family. I mean, perhaps you've noticed it too. How often do we make comments, you know, oh, you look just like your dad, or you look just like your mother, or oh my gosh, you must be, and fill in the last name, right? Well, in Genesis, what are we told but that we were created in the image of God? Well, it says, the Lord said, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. Unfortunately and sadly, our fallen nature and added to by our own sins has dampened that image and that glory of God that he desires to shine through and in our lives. Once again, it's why I think it's imperative on why Jesus had to come in bodily form, why he had to be raised in bodily form, to be able to reestablish that image and that glory of God that we have lost. And that's what kind of Paul is admonishing the Christians in Corinth. And yet, as always, when we just kind of jump in and read a little section of it, we start off and Paul says, and this is why we have this hope. And of course, you all have memorized 2 Corinthians, so you know exactly what he's talking about, right? Well, actually, we have to back up, and so a couple verses before our own reading, he's kind of explaining what this hope is. And he tells them, he says, now if the ministry of death, chiseled in letters on stone tablets, came in glory so that the people of Israel could not gaze at Moses' face because of the glory of his face, a glory now set aside, how much more will the ministry of the Spirit come in glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, much more does the ministry of justification abound in glory. Indeed, what once had glory has lost its glory because of the greater glory. For if what was set aside came through glory, much more has the permanent come in glory. So now it makes all sense, right? Now you all got it? I can just sit down. You figured it all out. This is why I remember back when we said that they read the scriptures, but they then had people to interpret. The idea is that it's not enough to just often hear it. We have to try to understand it. That's why I have a job and you have to listen to me every Sunday. It's basically he's talking about, he's saying the law, this notion that we have the ability to keep the letter of the law and somehow save ourselves or enable us to project the image of God through our own deeds has been proven to be ineffective. In fact, the whole purpose of the law in the first place was to show how incapable we are of recreating ourselves as we should be. And it's only through the permanent solution found in Jesus' bodily resurrection that this veil can be destroyed so that that image can again shine forth in our lives in this world. So we've been promised the glory of God given to us in our creation, which was lost through our disobedience, will be destroyed and restored through our faith and trust in Jesus alone. But how often, and we talked about this Wednesday night when we were studying this, how often on our own volition do we put that veil back up? We know better. We've seen God work. We want that, but we go back into hiding. We have witnessed God work in and through our lives and in and through other people's lives, and yet in spite of that, we often allow ourselves to turn away and hide what God desires to display. Now, there's a story told in England a while ago about an upcoming total eclipse of the sun. And they said, you know, like they did when we just had our recent eclipse a few years ago, the newspapers and radio stations and television stations were repeatedly putting out warnings about the event. You know, reminding people again and again, do not attempt to look directly at the sun when it's in a full eclipse because it'll basically burn your eyeballs out and you will go blind. You know, regular sunglasses won't work. You had to buy, then they would continually tell them the special products that you had to buy, the special way you had to look at it in order for you to safely watch and see this event. Well, then a lady wrote to one of the national newspapers, and she asked, if this eclipse is so dangerous, why are we having one in the first place? Common sense is not very common, is it? But God's glory can be dangerous, because it will reveal those areas in our lives that we often want to keep hidden. Those areas that are not of Him. Those areas that do need to be burned away, so to speak, by the glory of God. Yet the amazing thing is that, as Paul points out, is that if we are willing to turn to Jesus and allow Him to take that veil away, to take away that which we think is actually protecting us, to remove it, we will then be able to radiate from the inside out our true nature created in the image of God. We will be able to radiate that true nature as sons and daughters of God. And then we'll stop being slaves to our sinful desires and nature and are given freedom of reflecting the desires and nature of Jesus Himself. So what does he say? And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. But we have to remember, it's a process. That's the amazing thing. Are we allowing Jesus to start that process in us, to transform us from the inside out? See, as Paul Tillich, a 20th century theologian, suggests, he says, rather than seeing the state of our own sin or our addictions, we often project onto the external objects of our addiction as well. I mean, we see this all the time. We blame the alcohol. We blame the drugs. We blame the temptress or the tempter, the system, the cops, or even religion. And other people, you know, parents, spouses, children, they receive this venom of the projections that we do onto other things when we're unwilling to own up to our own lives. And it brings back to Paul's assertion that in spite of everything, if we're unwilling to see, even though deep down we know that there's a problem, we're not going to see the problem. And it's only in the transforming and reconciling power of Jesus that we can be changed. Now, I'm not a huge country music fan, but I did find this song by Montgomery Gentry, which kind of talks about this, which I really like. And it's actually a pretty good song. For country, it's a pretty good song. It's called Some People Change. Now, I think a few people have done this song, but I just love that first verse where it says, his old man was a rebel yeller, bad boy to the bone. He'd say, can't trust that other fella. He judged him by the tone of their skin. He was raised to think like his dad, narrow mind full of hate, on the road to nowhere fast, till the grace of God got in the way. Then he saw the light and hit his knees and cried and said a prayer, rose up a brand new man, left the old one right there. Here's to the strong, thanks to the brave, don't give up hope, some people change. Against all odds, against the grain, love finds a way, some people change. What is it that causes us not to change into the reflected glory of God? What is it that causes us to leave the old behind and embrace the new? What would cause us to allow Jesus to take off those veils that we continually put up? So we end this season of Epiphany and we're entering now into that Lenten season of kind of reflection and repentance. Let us take time to take stock of our lives, to examine and allow Jesus to take off some of those veils and to begin to transform us from glory to glory so that he might shine through our lives. Allow that veil to be removed so that the image of God can shine through, so that it might be reflected in and through each one of us and into the world, so that when someone comes up to you, they can say without a shadow of a doubt, you look exactly like the image of your Father, but your Father in heaven. Amen.